Today on Focal Point, Pastor Mike Fabares talks about how to navigate times of doubt.
You need to resolve to be fearless. What's the opposite of doubt? You say, well, trust. Well, that's true. But the kind of trust the Bible talks about is a fearless confidence. David is surrounded by people, but he says, I'm not going to be afraid. There is a fearlessness about the fact I am resolved to be fearless.
King David was called a man after God's own heart. And yet, despite God's favor, his life was anything but trouble-free. Time after time, David was attacked and pursued by enemies, including his own son. Today on Focal Point, Pastor Mike Fabares instructs us how to respond when the world rises up against us. I'm your host, Dave Drewy. We're in a series looking at the Psalms called Israel's Greatest Hits. And Pastor Mike is sharing the final part of a message from the third psalm called When in Doubt.
Psalm 3, it begins by telling us the setting, a psalm of David, when he fled from Absalom, his son. And he says this, O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. And David finds himself actually ousted from his own royal palace and sent across the Kidron Valley, up on the Mount of Olives, and there's a lot of stuff happening that just completely humiliates David and his entourage as the shrinking band who was loyal to David kept getting smaller and smaller, and everybody who kept going and supporting his rebel son, Absalom, kept getting bigger and bigger. And you can understand verses 1 and 2, he's saying, how many are my foes? I can hardly count them. David's saying, my life is really in a mess right now, and yours might be too. And if it's not, I would venture to say it soon will be at some point where you will say, I feel like everyone is against me, whether it's just some small area of your life. It may be in your office. It may be at your work. It may be in your industry. It could be in your family. It could be in your neighborhood. But you're going to say, this is really getting really, really hard. And the first bit of encouragement I want to give to you is, number one, you need to expect painful times. Expect painful times. You need to write that down as an encouragement, because here's the thing. If you don't expect that, you will be disillusioned in the Christian life, because there are plenty of people that want to pitch you something and sell you stuff and pass the plate to tell you, listen, you need to know that if you follow Christ, everything will be great for you. And you need to understand that's nonsense. It's certainly not biblical. Paul said to the early Christians in his sphere of influence, and that is, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Or in the words of Christ, in this world, you will have tribulation. But take heart. We're going to get to the other side of this. We're going to get to the kingdom. I've overcome the world. Now, so many Christians go to church. They sing great songs about salvation, about comfort, about hope, about help. And we all think that should be translated into all of that great things. And we'll live with him for a million years. And it'll be awesome. And Christ will reign on the throne. And we think, well, I'm not experiencing that now. And we get disillusioned. Expect painful times. That may make it tough for us. But here, we can turn the corner. Just like David starts to in verse 3. Let's now start to recognize this, that though it may be hard for us for a lot of reasons, the Lord is a shield about me. Even when the problem comes from my own sin, how often do we see God stepping in and graciously saying, okay, I'm going to protect you now. The Lord is a shield about me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. God is not going to forsake me. He will never cast me out. No one's going to snatch me from his hand, to speak of a New Testament reference to the Good Shepherd. The reality of that, think about that. Two things that all of us crave as human beings. I want to be secure. I'd like to have significance. I've got that in God. Nothing in my circumstances can change that. You think that can lift your head? That can lift your head. What are we talking about? Hope, strength. How's that going to happen? Verse 4. Let me give you now verses 4 and 5 is the way to get this done. And let's get our point from this section. I cried to the Lord. This is perfect tense. This has happened in the past. And he answered me from his holy hill. I remember that I prayed and God has done what I've asked. He has answered me in the past. Number 2 on your outline, let's put it down this way. He starts by getting that lifted head by recalling God's faithfulness. Recall God's faithfulness in your life. You want some practical steps this morning? I want you to start keeping track of the answers to prayer. Some of you are doing that already. Step it up. Redouble your efforts to have the answers to God's prayer chronicled in your life. Gotta write down the answers to prayer. But I'd like to broaden this a little bit. Not only do I want you to recall God's faithfulness in answers to your prayers, I want you to think about the way God has answered prayers for his people, how God has been faithful to his people. See, for me to have hope about my future, I got to know this. God not only answered my prayers in the past, but you know what? When the people of God have sought God, God has been faithful to his people. The gates of hell itself cannot prevail against the church, and I'm a part of that organization. I'm on a winning team. You think that can lift my head? Yeah. How do I need to get that? Think about answered prayer. Think about God's fidelity to his people. And then one more thing. Verse 5. It says, "Now I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me." Now we're getting into like ridiculously small things. I go from big things, crying out to the national center of the nation of Israel and thinking about God's faithfulness and how he's answered. And now I'm thinking about, I just went to sleep last night. This is at least day 2 of the exile of David. And he's looking back at his former night's sleep and he says, I went to sleep, I woke up, I credit God with that kind of sustenance. I know God is a faithful God, even in the little things. I guess if you're taking notes, I put it down this way. I keep track of God's faithfulness and answers to my prayers. I am certainly going to note God's faithfulness to his people. And then thirdly, I need to start paying attention to his faithfulness in the little things, the little things. When I moved out of my house, my mom summarily threw away most of my stuff, I found out. And I had a drawer full of things that were important to me, including baseball cards. I'm going to forgive my mom eventually for that, throwing those all away. But it's funny now that things are starting to trickle back. Decades later, my mom recently brought a box with some things of some of the books I had when I was a little kid and found my first Bible and some things. It was interesting to kind of thumb through all that. But one little book that she had in there was called Prayers for Little Ones. And it was the first book I had on prayer. And it was a tiny little, you know, just a tiny little hardback green, like olive green little book. And I started to thumb through that this week. And it had been sitting there on my shelf for a while, but I grabbed it and started reading. And I found a prayer that I know you've heard. It's the kind of prayer that I would simplistically look at as a guy who tries to take myself seriously as knowing the Bible and understanding the Bible and teaching the Bible. I would look at this kind of prayer and I would scoff at it. I just can't help but admit that's how my natural intuitive reaction is to a prayer like this. And yet there it was on page 15. And in light of what I was studying this week in this passage, I couldn't help but say that's exactly the kind of way Christians should think about God's little, the faithfulness in the little things. Here's the prayer. I know you've heard it. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Keep me safe through the night and wake me with the morning light. If I should die before I wake, I pray thee, Lord, my soul to take. And across the page on page 15 was a sketch on page 14 of a little kid in his little ancient nightgown on. This was published in 1923. I was not a child in 1923, just so you know that. This was an old book when I got it. This little sketch of this little kid in his nightgown praying, kneeling by his bedside. And I thought, well, that's how whoever put this book together is trying to teach little kids to pray. And I would scoff at that. And I was, oh, that's ridiculous. You know how much more godly I think we would be? Perhaps getting to the goal of this sermon, how much more joyful and strengthened we would be if we would start to note the little things that God does for us. If you last night went to bed and said, God, I'm laying down to sleep. I pray that you'd keep me till the morning. Keep me safe through the night. And when I wake by the morning light, I want to rejoice in the fact that you kept me alive. And if I don't live to the morning, I pray that you'll take my soul and that I'll be with you. And you start praying that, a prayer that I think maybe like me, you've just dismissed as silly childhood talk. I think we'd be much more excited about the fact that God is involved, even when things are going wrong at work or in your family or in your life. On the next page, a new prayer for little kids. Thy favor gives me daily bread. Were we not convicted last week in the sermon about that? Even down to the things we eat every day. Your favor gives me daily bread and friends who all my needs supply. And safely now I rest my head, preserved and guarded by thine eye. And when David was down, he looked at his sleep. He said, you know what? I can't even, I'm alive because of God's intervention. The faithfulness of God in the little things. That's a godly prayer. It's not an ungodly prayer. Certainly in light of what Paul said to the professors in Athens at the Areopagus in Acts 17, he says, God gives us life, he gives us breath, and he gives us everything else. You know what he gave you last night? Sleep. And you woke up this morning, and perhaps that prayer from 1923 to teach little kids to recognize this, that if you wake up in the morning, it was God's goodness and his faithfulness to you. Well, he may have taken some things away from you. He may be putting you through a trial. You may be reaping a bit of what you've sown in terms of things that you don't want to experience, but God's keeping you in that fire for a while. But But just know, in the midst of all that, he has answered your prayers in the past. He's not silent. He's not passive. He's not deaf. He can hear you. He's been faithful to his people through the centuries, and he was even faithful to you last night when you went to bed and woke up in the morning. Therefore, the resolve of verse 6, go back to our passage, Psalm 3:6, I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid. There's the resolve. Let's put it down that way. Number 3, you need to resolve to be fearless. What's the opposite of doubt? You say, well, trust. Well, that's true. But the kind of trust the Bible talks about is a fearless confidence. David is surrounded by people, but he says, I'm not going to be afraid. There is a fearlessness about the fact, I am resolved to be fearless. Well, it may be really bad. It is. I will not be afraid of, look at verse 6, many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Well, what do I have all around me? I have the shield of God. Ultimately, I may lose this battle. I could lose my life over this, but ultimately I have the ultimate security in God. I have the ultimate sense of significance. He is my glory. He's answered my prayers in the past. He's faithful to his people. He was faithful to me last night when I went to bed. Now I know this. There's no need for me to look at the future with fear. There's no need for me to look at the future with doubt. There's no need for me to look at this with a dour attitude and distress. I am saying things about me being related to the living God. I have hope. I have a future. I have a promise that I can put in terms of Psalm 23. Surely goodness and mercy are going to chase me down all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If that's true, it doesn't matter who's against me. I'm not going to be afraid. And what am I going to do in the midst of my pain? I'm going to arise and say to the Lord, save me. And it may not happen right now, may not happen next week. And the salvation may come at the end of a struggle with a disease or a problem or a foe or a persecuted government. But I'm going to get to the place where I know, like Paul said in 2 Timothy 4, I'm going to be arriving safely into the heavenly kingdom. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. You strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. And it's not just the physical enemies that we experience that will one day be made right as they bow down before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You understand every demonic spirit, even Satan himself, will be defeated. He will look, and you and I will look in triumph over our foes. Great passage that always reminds me of the call and need to be fearless. Psalm 118, 6 and 7. Psalm 118, 6 and 7. The Lord is at my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Well, he can do a lot. David knows that. The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me, and so will I. No one hates me more than demonic spirits. The demonic spirit that's now at work in the sons of disobedience that happens even within the church. As Paul said to Timothy, there are people captivated by Satan within the church to do his will. All those that are opposed to the good and godly things that God wants to do in and through my life, I know ultimately they will not win. Even if 1,000 people set themselves against me all around, even if the odds are against me completely. Do you think David knows anything about being on the losing end of the odds makers? Absolutely. It was 40 years before this that David stood as a teenager in the Valley of Elah when he went to bring some bread and cheese to his older brothers in battle. That he watched that big, gigantic, ugly thug of a Philistine warrior stand there and mock and defy and curse God and the armies of Israel. And he was filled with jealousy, a godly jealousy and zeal. And he finally goes to Saul, the king, like, well, who's going to do something about this? And finally, so convinced by the determination and the courage and the fearlessness of David, he says, good, put on all this armor. None of the armor fit. So David says, listen, I've killed a bear. I've killed a lion. I can use this slingshot. I'm going to go out there and do it. Well, as he gets a chance to speak to Goliath, here's what he says. 1 Samuel 17:45. He says, hey, Philistine, you come against me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, and those are intimidating weapons. But I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the Lord God of the armies of Israel that you're defying. Listen to this, verse 46, talk about determination. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. I'll strike you down and I'll cut off your head. And that's exactly what happened. God took a little boy, a teenage kid that had faith and confidence that God would not be defied. He didn't care what the anti-theists said. We shouldn't care what the anti-Christs of our generation say. We should say, God is my God. He is my shield. He's my glory. He's the lifter of my head. Doesn't matter what kind of disease, what kind of death, what kind of problem, what kind of financial issues I'm facing. I am going to face the future fearlessly. And God will get me through this. Because in the end, all the enemies will be defeated because salvation belongs to the Lord. And therefore, I can say that God's blessing is going to be, has been, and will be for me upon the people of God. When David stood there before Goliath, the last thing he said before he started a rush toward Goliath was, because of this defiance, you need to know that because I'm going to kill you and all the Philistines are going to die in this valley, everyone's going to know that the Lord saves, not with a sword and not with a spear, because the battle is the Lord's. He's going to give you into my hands. Salvation belongs to the Lord, verse 8. Can I leave you with this practical reminder? You and I can look at this passage and say, yeah, my attitude needs to be recalibrated. I need my disposition brought up. I need to not be dour, down, doubting. I need to face my future with confidence and joy and strength and courage, because I know the Lord is the one who brings salvation. You can know that theoretically, but you can still reach toward the means. You can look at the javelin and the spear and the sword, and you can say, I need a better javelin. I need a better spear. I need a better sword. In other words, you can have a cancer diagnosis and say, I just need better doctors. I need better medications. God's all for doctors and medication. You can have a financial issue and you can say, I need better lawyers. God is all for lawyers. You can say, well, I have a problem here. I need a good biblical counselor. God is all for good biblical counseling. But you better not put your hope in the means of God's salvation. You ought to know salvation belongs to the Lord. The blessing is upon his people because God cares for his people through the intermediate means of the things that he's going to use to get that done. Absolutely. It was David's great-great-grandson who failed at this in the end of his life, just like David did. David went out at the end of his life and counted his troops because he started to shift his focus from the Lord who saves, not by sword, not by shield, not by javelin, but saves because he cares for his people. Doesn't mean that David shouldn't have a standing army. He should have a standing army, and he had one. But he shouldn't put his trust in it. And he did that by numbering the people. His great-great-grandson, Asa, did the same exact thing when he was hit with a medical problem. That may be exactly where you're at right now. And the Bible uses this pretty strong Hebrew verb, which speaks of the reality of what Asa didn't do. King Asa did a great thing like David. He cared about godliness and reform. He took down all the Asherah poles. He went after all the idolatry. He cleaned up the nation. But when it came to a trial in his life, at the end of his life, after 39 years on the throne, he got sick. The Bible says a disease in his feet. And it says he did not, strong word, he did not chase after, seek after, pursue the Lord in that. Instead, he pursued the physicians. Again, God is all for physicians. Matter of fact, you see in the Bible many situations of seeking the help of physicians, but it's not because I think salvation belongs in physicians. Your protection and your health does not belong in medications and the pharmacy and your doctors. Your protection at work does not belong to books or strategies or management skills or lawyers. Salvation belongs to the Lord, which means you first seek the Lord, and then he brings the means in, and you utilize the means to get that salvation accomplished in your life, and praise the Lord. In many cases, it happens, and the blessing is evident in the here and now, the temporal salvation of God. We see God turn things around, but make sure your trust is in him. Make sure that you know that salvation is from the Lord. Asa failed in that, and after 2 years of suffering in his disease, he died in the 41st year of his reign, all because he sought the wrong thing. He looked at the means instead of the source. David had troubles. Absalom, his son, was his enemy. God would depose him, his enemy, that is, and David would reascend the throne, and he would have a season where he was back exactly where he needed to be. It was through a painful situation that he would have to fight back, really, as God fought for him, to get that throne back. But what he needed in this particular time is he camped out under the stars as a refugee of his own son. He needed an adjustment of his attitude. No fear, no doubt, no despair, no weakness. He needed courage and assurance and joy and strength. And he found those things through this kind of thinking. And I want you to do the same. It's the same kind of thinking that was needed 420 years before this, when his ancestors were outside the promised land. They'd been through a lot of tests that they had failed. And yet God was going to put Joshua in place. Moses had died. There was a lot of reasons to doubt and despair and a lot of reasons to think we can't do this. But God gives him some classic memorable instructions that we do teach our kids in Awana, right? These are memory verses for our kids. You need to know this is exactly what we need when we face the kinds of opposition, we face the kind of pain, the difficulty, the loss that you might be thinking of as I preach this sermon. And it's as though God just wants to drive this home as strongly as possible. He repeats it over and over again in this passage. Listen to it. Be strong, he tells Joshua. Be strong and courageous. For you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. I'm going to keep my promises. You need to trust me. You need to be strong and courageous. Next verse, only just be strong. And now he adds this word, very courageous. Just be careful to do what's in the word. Do what I told you in the word. Don't doubt my word. And he ends this two verses later. Have I not commanded you? I've said it. He says it again. Be strong and be courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. When you're tempted to doubt, Psalm 3 is the answer. God's word, the living and active word, I trust will give you joy and trust and confidence and strength and hope. Don't despair. Don't sit here and tell people we have the answer, that we have a God as our God, that he's our Father, that we have an eternal hope that outshines any kind of problem that we have in this life, that the glory to be revealed to us is better than any of the pain and suffering we have. Don't say that and then walk out of the church and be filled with that kind of fear and doubt and despair and weakness we see so many Christians hypocritically expressing to this non-Christian world. Get out there and smile at your future. Be confident that the Lord is your God, that he'll walk you through whatever you're going through. Recognize that we have a peace that surpasses all understanding, and it doesn't mean that our circumstances are peaceful. It means that our heart is at peace, even in the midst of the most tumultuous times. Expect painful times, recall God's faithfulness, and always resolve to look at your future fearlessly. Let's pray. God, in our day, we have a lot of challenges, and it's getting worse corporately for us and our culture. But for whatever pain there might be in this room right now that's causing doubt and fear, I pray that you might help us dispel that by the same pattern of thinking that we find in Psalm 3. Please, God, help us to cling to the fact that you are a God that has always been faithful to your people. And God, make us better children who trust you the way we ought to, with the truth that we've learned this morning, that it might encourage us and fuel us to face our week with courage and confidence. In Jesus' name, amen.
You're listening to Focal Point and an encouraging message from Pastor Mike Fabares titled, When in Doubt. It's part of a study in the book of Psalms titled, Israel's Greatest Hits. Now, to listen to this entire message or share it with a friend, visit our website, focalpointradio.org, or download the Focal Point app. We're glad you're listening, and we'd love to hear from you. This month, when you get in touch, we're offering a free gift to our new listeners. It's a helpful booklet called Psalms in God's Presence Through Songs and Prayers. You can enrich your understanding of the Psalms and explore this beloved book by learning the important context behind these favorite Bible passages. It's easy to request your copy when you get in touch today. Just call 888-320-5885 or contact us online at focalpointradio.org. And as a regular Focal Point listener, you know that this is more than just a radio show. We're delivering solid and reliable Bible teaching, and we want to reach people with the life-changing truth of Scripture. So when you give to Focal Point, you become a catalyst for change, helping to disciple believers across the country through Pastor Mike's bold, unapologetic teaching. Are you ready to take that step right now? Well, give us a call. 888-320-5885 is our number. That's 888-320-5885. Or you can give online at focalpointradio.org. And when you give this month, we'll say thank you by sending you a helpful commentary on the Psalms to go along with our series this month. Pastor Mike has selected Psalms, Everyday Bible Commentary by Robert Alden. This chapter-by-chapter commentary is straightforward and insightful, and it's yours when you make a generous financial contribution to support the work of Focal Point. Please call us at 888-320-5885 or give online at focalpointradio.org. Or if you prefer, send your gift in the mail. Our address is Focal Point, Post Office Box 2850, Laguna Hills, California, 92654. And we encourage you to join us again tomorrow when Pastor Mike Fabares begins a message in Psalm chapter 8 called Reflections of Majesty. I'm your host, Dave Drewy, hoping you'll join us again Tuesday for more Focal Point.
Pastor Mike here. Ever wish you could corner your pastor and challenge him with your toughest questions about the Bible, about faith? Well, now you can. Send me your questions. Head on over to focalpointradio.org and click on Ask Pastor Mike, or send me a note on facebook.com/Pastor Mike or twitter.com/Pastor Mike. I can't wait to hear from you.
To Today's program was produced and sponsored by Focal Point Ministries.